Galatians, we've been there for a few weeks, and I wanted to kind of extrapolate from this a topic that perhaps, I don't know what Paul was thinking about, but anyway, I was. And but here in Ephesians chapter, or, I'm sorry, Galatians 3, he says in verse 6, even as Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. In other words, God gave two sets of promises to Abraham. One was an eternal promise for his natural progeny, a progeny. What's that word? Is that right, progeny? That's not right. Posterity. Thank you. And that's the natural promise, and that's what we're seeing in Israel right now. Are the natural promises that God made to Abraham. But then there's a spirit set of spiritual promises that were made to be fulfilled through Jesus. And here in Ephesians, or here in Galatians 3, Paul is alluding to that. That because we are of faith, we are of the children of Abraham. And I just sent my book to the, this latest book to the printer yesterday. And in that book, I mentioned the importance of understanding that in Christ, there is neither Jew nor Gentile. See, God promised to the natural seed of Abraham this world. And it's going to come to pass when the Messiah comes. But what the Old Testament prophets didn't see is Jesus coming and bringing the kingdom of God with him for us to enter into right now. Amen. You understand that? So there are two sets of promises moving, going literally parallel with one another right now. The promises to natural Israel, and God said in Exodus 19 that I have selected you among all the nations of the world for you to be a special purchased people. Amen. So they're favored people. Never lose sight of that. But that's the natural seed. The spiritual seed, natural seed, went and to the point where Jesus came, and then Jesus interjected in the midst of that, the seed of God, and opened the door for us to enter into that, so now we become the spiritual sons of Abraham. That makes sense? And so the promises that God gave to Abraham have been fulfilled in Jesus. And my belief is the messianic promises that he gave to the natural seed of Abraham have been fulfilled in the person of Jesus. So the kingdom that Jesus is going to bring when he comes as the Messiah is already present in the body of Christ. And so Paul says in the latter end of this chapter that when we enter into the body of Christ, in Christ there is neither Jew or Gentile. I might have said this before, but a Jewish gal one year when we had the tent uptown said, I'm a completed Jew. I said, what does that mean? I've received Jesus as the Messiah. I said, wonderful. I'm a completed Gentile. She says, you're what? I said, I'm a completed Gentile. What's a completed Gentile? That's a Gentile who accepts Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. I said, whether you're a Jew or Gentile, once you enter into Jesus, you become part of the body of Christ. You know what I'm saying? And those non-Jewish curses that were upon the Gentile, or the Jewish blessings that were on the Jewish people, they continue on. But in Christ, we receive the blessings of Abraham. You have them right now. So we have a completed Jewish gal back here. And us completed Gentiles got you outnumbered. You understand the point I'm making? Is when we transition into the body of Christ, ethnicity loses its influence in the body of Christ. And so does your gender. There's neither Jew or Gentile or male or female. That's why we believe in women preachers. That's why I do anyway. I don't know about you. I think you do. Well, I hadn't really thought about that before, but, I suppose that could be said. I guess that means we're completed men. Pardon? Yeah, correct your wife, would you? Paul is saying here that because his ministry, see, was to the Gentile. That was his whole focus. So he's helping them to understand that when they enter in by faith into the person of Jesus, they receive or become the spiritual seed of Abraham. And those blessings are available. And he says, and the scripture foreseeing that God, verse 8, would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Blessed with faithful Abraham. We'll probably get back to that tonight. I don't have enough time. But go over a couple pages to Ephesians chapter 2. And I want you to realize that, the Jewish believer, in the Mosaic law, received his blessing from God, from Jehovah, because he complied with all the rules and regulations of the law of Moses. For us, we're blessed with Abraham because of God's love. And one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, I say that often, don't I?
Yeah. One of many.
Well, there's a whole bunch of men there that are really good. I don't know, they're all good. Not just some of them, they're all good. But you all know this one, Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. For we are his workmanship, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. This is important to me. That we approach God because of his love. Because he could just push us out of the way. But he loves us because he died for us. And so we approach God and we are justified by virtue of his grace. And this is the relational side of God. God's a relational God. He doesn't want to maintain his position of Jehovah. But he wants to become Father. There's a big difference. Big difference. Yes. Abba, Father. Our very own Father God. An intimate word that, by the way, has no English translation. The word Abba is not even Aramaic. It goes clear back to the earliest of languages that have been discovered. And they've never been able to adequately translate it, so they've just always put it Abba. It's like the word hallelujah. There's no translation for the word hallelujah. It's the same in all languages. But then out of this grace relationship, then we are programmed by the Holy Spirit to perform works of grace, works of love. So when you're in a doctor's waiting room, and you're filled with grace, and you see a need, grace starts to flow. What is that? That's a work of righteousness. See, God has programmed you to do that. But the thing I wanted to say about this scripture was not that, though that's true, is that we don't receive from God because of our works. Now here are some works that we do. We read the scripture. We sit down and we meditate the scripture. We sit down and we start saying, Lord, you're actually saying that to me. We call that a rhema. And we start saying, yeah, praise God, I've got that. That's mine. I'm going to ask God for it. I'm going to get it. I know that. All of that is still grace. Doesn't matter how much you know. Doesn't matter how deep the revelation you have goes. It doesn't matter how many answers to prayer you get. It's always grace. It's never anything but grace. But you see, we have a tendency in our humanity, we want to lay claim to greatness. Now, we don't walk around saying, I'm great. Oh, I'm great. But we get around and we start hearing people talk about God did this and God did that. And before you know it, our flesh starts to rise up. We want people, hey, God does that stuff for me too. Hello? Ever been there? Preachers, we got that mean problem. Every time I get around preachers, I start hearing all the stuff God's done. You know what I want to say? Well, let me tell you what God's done for me. And God says, shut up. He reminds me of my own sermon. It's grace. It's grace. It's grace. And then over in chapter 1, verse 3, it says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenlies, in Christ, according as he has chosen us. See, God has selected you from before the world began to be a part of his family so he can bestow upon you his grace. Do you know who coined the word charismatic? Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts was the one who started calling all these people in denominational churches that started receiving the baptism charismatics. You want to know why he called them charismatics? Because charismatic comes from the Greek word charisma or charismata, which means spiritual grace gifts. So at the very core of our salvation is grace. And so what God wants us to understand, and sometimes gets lost in all of our, man, I'm a faith person and I believe in the Word of God, is this grace. It's grace. As I was meditating on this afternoon, really wanting to fine-tune in my mind where God wanted to go, I really felt God prompting me to talk about the blessings of Abraham. Would you like to see about the blessings of Abraham? How many know what the blessings of Abraham are? Sure you do. I'm going to tell you. I knew you knew. But I'm gonna tell you. Go to Genesis. Go to Genesis chapter 12. Remember, God called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees. And in verse 12 says chapter 12, verse 1 says, now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation. Here's just one person. There wasn't a whole bunch of Abraham around. It was just one Abraham. He says, I'll make of you a great nation. I will bless you. I'll make your name great. Now, when to the Hebrew mind, a great name meant great riches. A name signified wealth. So he says, and then thou shalt be a blessing. Now notice now, in the midst of all this prosperity teaching we've had in the country over the last 35 years, remember, the whole purpose for prosperity isn't to get rich. It's to give it away. And if you, and don't measure your spirituality, and really don't even measure your blessing by how much money God's given you. Measure your blessing by how much you're giving away. Amen. And let me be honest with you. I'll be scriptural with you. The point at which you know whether or not you're being a blessing is 10%. That's where it starts at. Exactly right. Hello. Then God says, I will bless them that bless you. And I will curse them that curses you. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Here's a man, doesn't have any children. God says, I'm going to give you a whole bunch. So the blessings of Abraham are explained in the writings of Moses. It meant relationship with God. It meant financial wealth. It meant prosperity. It meant blessing in every facet of your life. Now, we're blessed with Abraham. Now, if those things are not happening in your life, you need to sit down and say, okay, God, I'm just going to remind you that I believe that Abraham was blessed in this area. Start believing for it. Start saying, Lord, I'm not going to remind you of your word because you wrote it, so you know what's in there. But I'm going to declare it openly because I believe it. It's a blessing for me. In Genesis 15, he says, I'm going to be your shield and your great reward. Your shield of protection and a return on everything that you've sown. I'm going to bless you with it abundantly. In Genesis 17, I'm going to be El Shaddai, the Almighty God. That's what I'll be to you. That means that no end to his source. Now turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And of course, I'm skipping a lot here, but this Deuteronomy was written just before they went into the promised land, after they have wandered for 40 years. Moses writes they spent 2 years just before they went into the promised land. That's when Moses wrote the book of Deuteronomy. But in 28 it says, and it shall come to pass, if you hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord thy God to observe, to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon thee and overtake you. And you read all the way up to verse 14, which he says, all these things in every part of your life are going to overtake you. Wouldn't you like to be overtaken by the thing you've been asking God for? In Galatians 3, you have been blessed with Abraham. So God promises to overtake you with the blessing that you have received through Abraham, through Jesus, because of Abraham. And through Abraham, because of Jesus. So if you're not receiving what you want in some area of your life, we need to go back just to the basics. Lord, here's what your word says. I'm believing in Jesus' name that you're overtaking me with these blessings. Now, the word overtake in the Hebrew means literally to pursue and overtake. And of course, you know in Psalm 23, when David was giving us that great shepherd psalm, he says, and goodness and mercy will follow me. That's another Hebrew word which means to pursue. So in both cases, God says, I'm going to be able to overtake you with blessing. You see, and this kind of goes along with my favorite scripture in the New Testament. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things that the Gentiles seek for will what? Be added to you. And who's going to do the adding? God. See, we just wear ourselves out, fretting, and you know God doesn't really like guitar players. Didn't know if you knew that or not. He says, "Fret thou not." See, all those little bars on a guitar are called frets. Anyway, but God wants us to relax and quit getting stressed out over what we want. We just need to go back to the scripture and say, Father, here's what your word said. I don't know how you're going to do this. And Lord, it looks pretty impossible. But you said thus and so. You said you're going to satisfy every need in my life. You're going to bless me spiritually. You're going to bless me financially. You're going to bless my marriage. You're going to bless my home. You're going to bless my children. You're going to bless everything. He says in Deuteronomy 28, everything you put your hand to, I'm going to bless you. So it just doesn't matter. What really matters is we understand that we are blessed with Abraham. So we need to start declaring those blessings. You can go through the Old Testament, from Genesis to Malachi. Every time God promised to do something for His covenant people, you can lay claim to that same promise. Because those promises are fulfilled in Jesus. You can trust Him. Now, I can't tell you when it's going to happen. I can't tell you when you're going to be overtaken with your blessing. I can just tell you, according to the Word, you will be. And as Abraham was overtaken by God's blessing in his life, we can expect that too. What we need to start saying is, Lord, I expect it. All you people that prayed for last Sunday morning, two Sunday mornings ago, the whole week long, every single day in my prayer time, Lord, I am calling forth your healing power on these people. Was there any of you that prayed Sunday morning that received the definite touch in your body? Yes? No? No evidence that anything changed? God? Oh, you did. Thank you. Well, then, it is changing. Hello? It is changing. Changing right now as you sit here. It'll be changing when you get up in the morning. But every day, Lord, I said, Lord, I'm calling forth those healing touches of healing upon these people. Calling forth. I called forth healing on Don yesterday, and I called healing on Bernie yesterday. Just believing God. Why? Because God wants people well. God wants you well. You're a whole lot more productive well than you are sick. Hello? Do you know who the most selfish people in the world are? The people who are the most sick. Because all you can think about is, I don't like this pain, I want well. Now, I know there are people that are really sweet even when they're sick. I realize that. But the point being is that when we're sick, man, do we ever get focused on self? Don't we? If you don't believe me, just walk through the living room tonight and stub your toe. You will immediately start loving your toe. If you haven't paid any attention to your toes recently, you'll especially be paying attention to that one that you stubbed. Why? Because we reach out to places that hurt. Your Father wants you well. Hello? Amen? Father, we thank you for the blessings that you have ordered for us. You have declared, Lord God, that we are positioned because of the covenant with Abraham. And in Christ Jesus, Father, all those blessings you promised Abraham have come to pass in kingdom living. Lord, we need to put into greater exercise in prayer and believing that the blessings that you promised in the covenant are overtaking us. And Lord, if we can just simply say, Father, those blessings are overtaking us, then we can have our hearts and minds open to those that we come face to face with who have need, because we won't be thinking so much about ourselves. We'll be thinking about them, because we know you are thinking about us. So Father, bless your people tonight. Say with me, Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessings that you promised to Abraham that are a reality. They are present tense in Jesus. And I receive those, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at somebody and say, Abraham's blessings are coming to you. Go ahead and say it somewhere.